Good morning, counsel. This is the case of In Re Estate of Loader. Counsel, you may take your seats at counsel table. And please do take your seats. Counsel, please keep your masks on when you are not presenting to the court. When you are presenting, please take your mask off so that we can hear and understand you. As you can see, five members of the court are here in the courtroom. Two members of the court are on WebEx, Justice Miller-Lerman and Justice Funk, but they will be participating as if they were in the courtroom. Do either counsel have any questions before we begin? Thank you very much. We will begin then. Mr. Smith, good morning to you. You may approach and you may proceed.
Good morning. May it please the court, when I was preparing for this case, I was thinking of the fact that many years ago when I got out of law school, there was over two areas of law I was never going to practice. One of them was tax law, and here I am in the Supreme Court, and I'm the one who filed the appeal. I filed the appeal for, so the court knows, for two reasons. One, obviously, because I thought the county court was wrong. Second reason is that if this court affirms the county court, my expectation would be that we'd have an opinion that could then be taken to the legislature to change the law, at least concerning any limitation period for the Department of Revenue filing tax claims in estate cases. My brief has three alternative arguments. I believe all three of the arguments are valid. First one is simply that the State's Revenue Act places a statutory duty on persons, which includes an estate, to file tax returns and pay their taxes without demand. The estate filed tax returns for the years 2011 through 2013, but did not pay the tax due. And thus, we would submit simply that the county court erred by denying the revenue department's claim because the taxes should be paid and due without demand.
Mr. Smith, under the tax law, isn't the estate a separate and distinct taxpayer from the decedent?
I think that's probably a good question. My understanding of the tax code is that the decedent does have the duty to pay the taxes, but upon death, that duty then evolves to the estate, and so the estate then becomes responsible for paying the taxes, filing the returns. So I guess in that context, when the duty then shifts to the estate then would be the one that would be responsible to file the return, pay the tax.
So if a decedent dies, for example, on July 1, doesn't the personal representative have a duty to file a tax return for the decedent from January 1 to June 30th, and then have a responsibility to file an estate income tax return, if one applies, for the period of the rest of the year? In other words, doesn't that show that there are two distinct capacities? And let's assume for the moment that that's right, how does that affect this case, if at all?
Well, your assumption and your question reflects my initial determination after I got out of law school. I frankly confess my lack of knowledge on how all of the tax filings work. I do know that the state in this case did file the tax returns, and what they did was they filed the tax returns for the entire year. They did not distinguish in the manner in which you suggest. So If they did it wrong, those are the facts in which we've got here at the present time. I guess my bottom line position is if the duty is put on a person and includes the estate to file the returns and pay the tax when due, I don't know it makes a difference in this particular context. The alternative argument, second alternative argument, is simply that if the estate is bound by the probate code's creditor limitation period, the department did file its tax claim within 3 years of the decedent's death, and the claim was thus timely filed per section 30-2485 sub a sub 2, because the state never gave the department notice of the creditor's claim.
Personal representative.
The estate, well, the estate, yeah, the estate never gave the department any notice of creditor's claim, yeah. And that notice is significant because it would have been a specific notice putting the department, telling specifically the department, an estate's been filed, here's who the personal representative is, and there's a due date to file creditor's claim.
So what about the published notice?
Well, they'd have to publish the notice, but there's also the duty to give that notice to the creditor. That never happened.
They to every creditor or just those appearing to have a direct legal interest?
The statute
whose office is known.
Yeah, the statute says direct legal interest, and then that gets into the nuance of the argument that at least the estate should, you can impute the knowledge because the state does file a tax return for the tax year of death. They do obviously know that taxes were due. So to somehow say that, gee, we didn't have any knowledge that we would owe any income taxes, that to me falls apart with the fact of the tax return being filed covering the year of death, in which the PR herself admitted that she knew that the decedent had income in the form of alimony. So that would at least impute that there should be sufficient knowledge that taxes were due to the department. It might not have been for the years 2011, 2013, but at least taxes were due. No notice was given of taxes due to the department, and thus the department would be free to file its claim within the three-year period.
May I ask a question, Mr. Smith? And under easily ascertainable, is that an objective or a subjective standard? Because I just took your argument to mean the state or the estate subjectively knew about a tax consequence. That would be a subjective assessment in this case. Or is it that the estate or prior thereto the PR should just naturally know taxes are inevitable in general?
Well, I think it gets down to the issue of what is the duty of the personal representative when mailing notice to creditors, and do they have to actually know that one's a creditor, or is it sufficient simply that there's some knowledge that one would be a creditor, or is it simply it doesn't make any difference at all when an interested person is defined by statute as a person's having a property right or a claim against an estate, which in this case the department did. If the personal representative frankly didn't know that, I think it still allows the department to file its claim within 3 years when it, as the creditor, did not receive any notice.
Counsel, is there any evidence in the record that the personal representative did not know that the prior year's taxes had been filed?
There's evidence, but the evidence to that regard, frankly, is going to arise as of December of 2016, which would have been over 2 years after the decedent's death. The only evidence is the personal representative got a notice from the IRS, which then prompted the individual, the PR, to do further investigation, determine that no tax returns had been filed for those prior tax years. They then filed the returns, and but don't pay the tax, give no notice of creditor claim, specific notice to the department.
The reason they became aware of that was because they filed the taxes for the year of death. Is that correct?
I think the record simply reflects that a notice was received from the federal government. How the federal government became aware, I'm not sure that's clear from the record.
Some of that to do with the auditing of the ex-husband who paid alimony, I'm assuming. Is that correct as well?
Well, that's correct. There was a prior audit of the payment of alimony, but that, as I understand, that one had been cleared because that was the ex-husband's deductions for alimony. So his returns had been audited. It's not clear to me why the personal representative received the notice in 2016 from the federal government.
Is that the year the husband was being audited?
No, my recollection was he was being audited sooner than that. He had been paying temporary alimony. So I don't know that there's necessarily that correlation.
I'm just working under the old saw of mirror images. Thank you.
Yeah. It may have been. I don't know. To me, that would be speculation. It's just it's a guess. I see I'm out of time unless the court has further questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Jansen, good morning to you.
Be a little formal here to start, and say, Chief Justice and esteemed Justices of the Nebraska Supreme Court. My name is Wayne Jansen. I'm here on behalf of Miranda Loader as the PR of the estate of Jeanette Loader. I hope that my argument will answer some of your questions. I'm going to try to just kind of go down through the whole thing if possible. First of all, the comment's been made that the estate is the person who has to file the return and pay the tax. Our position is that the estate is not the person obligated to file the past income tax returns and pay the tax. The PR is to file the return of the decedent who is the taxpayer, and that's 77-2763 sub 1. The PR is not the taxpayer obligated to pay the tax within without demand on the 1040. Now, the department may require the PR to prepare past returns, and that's in Title 316, Chapter 36, Regulation 36015. That's found at Exhibit 20.
What about the year of death?
Well, the year of death, I'm coming. That's the next item up here, really. Okay. On the 1041, though, the PR is the person obligated to file the return and pay the tax on behalf of the estate, because that's an estate return, a fiduciary return. But the 1040 for the previous years, they're not the taxpayer. Now, the income taxes that are due before death are claims against the estate, and the PR is controlled by the probate statutes on the payment of all claims. The state income taxes are at level 5 in the priority of payment and only have priority above all other claims. Now I'm coming to what you asked. The filing of the 2014 return did not indicate a knowledge of a debt owing at death. The return was not due until April 15th, 2015. That's by section 77-2768 and 77-2763 sub 1. The tax is not due until the return is due. That's under section 77-2768.
Doesn't a personal representative have the obligation to file a 1040 for the decedent for the partial year for the year of death?
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about here. The 2014 was the year of death.
So at the time that the personal representative was appointed and took office, she certainly knew when the decedent died.
Of course.
Because she petitioned to be appointed, right?
Right.
So she knew at that point she was going to have an income tax issue for a short year.
Right. What she knew was that there would be a tax due on the due date of the return. The tax is not due in Nebraska until the due date of the return. And the estimated payments.
Well, does that make any difference under the claim statute? Because the claim statute applies not only to claims then due, it also applies to contingent or unliquidated claims, doesn't it?
Yes, but the tax itself is not due until the tax return is due, and that was on April 15th.
I'm still having trouble understanding what difference that makes about her knowledge that there would be a tax that would be owed to the department. And that is to say, a claim was in existence, even if it was unliquidated and contingent.
But it really wasn't a claim at that time until such time as the tax was actually determined and the tax was due on April 15th, which is after the date of death. And that claim then, it's a claim, but it's a claim that's required to be filed within 4 months of the determination. So within 4 months of April 15th, 2015, the state would have to file a claim in the estate for a debt incurred after death, because the installment payments are only paid on account of the final tax due, and that's section 77-2769 sub 7. So in reality, while you pay estimated and you can have interest accruing, tax actually isn't ultimately due until the return is due, and that was after death.
Under federal law, for the federal income taxes, the personal representative would be personal liable, right?
Well, we're not here, we're not talking about it.
Just go in, would
yeah,
you,
okay.
For a second. Isn't that true?
I'm not sure that that's true.
Assume that it's true.
Okay.
Are you taking the position that there's a gap in the Nebraska Income Tax Act in that it does not impose personal liability on a personal representative for income taxes of the deceased?
I think the only way that it could impose that liability on the personal representative is if the personal representative did something wrong. I think the personal representative has to.
I think that the answer then is yes, you're taking the position the Nebraska Income Tax Act does not impose personal liability on.
That would be my position. That was not raised in the briefs, and I would think that would be my position at this point.
Okay. Thank you.
So it's our position that the filing of the 2014 return, which was an obligation to do, to take that partial year, didn't show that there was any tax due that required the mailing of notice to anybody. The department claims that their regulations are not the same as the probate code. In their brief, they say that if they haven't received mail notice within 3 years, and they can, or at the time that the notice is published, and they have 3 years. But the regulations provide that they have 3 years only if the notice is not given pursuant to sections 25.520.01 and 30-2483.
If the department is a known creditor, the estate, that is the personal representative, had a duty to mail notice, not just published notice, but mail notice to the department, right?
If it's not quite that simple. If they are a real party in interest, have a real interest in the estate, yes, then they're obligated. But the situation is, all we have to do as an estate is publish notice according to those two statutes. And the county court found that notice was properly sent according to those
two statutes. Well, nobody's contending it was mailed to the department.
No, we're not contending.
You're relying on the published notice.
Yes.
The 25-520.01 requires the mailing if there's both a direct legal interest and the creditor is known, right?
If the creditor is known and there's a direct legal interest.
Are you first contending there was no direct legal interest?
Yes.
Okay. Now, why?
Why? The county court found that neither party knew that the returns had not been filed. And the county court found that neither party knew that there was tax due. PR didn't know that the name of the post office name and post office address of the department as a creditor.
Well, I was going to get to knowledge, and I think we're conflating two things. We're conflating direct legal interest with knowledge, and I want to hear about the knowledge, but I want you to first focus okay. on direct legal interest.
Okay. It becomes an unliquidated claim. And unliquidated claims do not constitute a direct legal interest. That's the estate of Smith, Farmers Cooperative Mercantile Company versus Sidner, 175 Nebraska 94, 1963. No demand was made by the department on the decedent before death, and the PR was unaware. That's found in the record at page 125, line 5, and at page 126, line 8.
That was a personal injury potential claim, right?
Right. But the fact of the matter is that the department is actually required by its own rules and regulations to make such a demand, even if a return isn't filed.
As your time is dwindling, I want to shift to the knowledge requirement. All right. And I'm still talking about 25-520.01. Are you contending that that's actual knowledge, or is it a reasonable person, objective knowledge, what a reasonable person in the personal representative's position knew or should have known?
I think our position with the two statutes together would be the mailing of notices requires more than an intuitive thought. It requires actual knowledge. And in this case, the department did not send the notices that might have been found by the PR when they were going through all the papers. They just plain failed to do anything, even though they had returns coming in from this lady's husband, Nebraska returns, that showed that she was his wife and that he had a fair amount of income.
Was the testimony, as I recall, was that the ex-husband, who apparently, only ex-husband as a result of death. Former husband assisted the personal representative in looking through the papers.
Yes.
But he testified they didn't look for tax documents, right?
I think that's a pretty fine point. I think he said they didn't find anything that would indicate that there would be a tax due from past years. But I'm not sure. I don't have that record in front of me.
Didn't he say something like they had no reason to?
Yeah, I think the testimony of the witnesses, even from the department, was that the vast majority of people file their taxes and pay their taxes. So what you're talking about as far as an intuitive maybe is that out of, you know, a small percentage, that we would assume that this decedent didn't pay her taxes. And I don't think that's a reasonable thing to say. If the department had done what they were supposed to do and mailed the notices that should have been in the paperwork, or they should have been taking action to collect the taxes at the time, which would have given the PR full knowledge of the fact that there were taxes due and owing. That never took place. They knew she lived
with respect to, I beg your pardon, with respect to the language in 25-520.01 or the easily ascertainable, right, liabilities. Are taxes due or taxes owed easily ascertainable by the PR? It's not fanciful to imagine an adult decedent having a tax liability, correct?
Well, if we, for the past years, for 2011 through 2013, and if it's easily ascertainable, I would say that's not easily ascertainable. In fact, the record shows here that once we got notice from the IRS that there had not been tax returns filed, that the personal representative went to the department's office in Omaha and inquired and was turned away. Said, we're not going to tell you anything. You have to come back with your letter. So she had to go home, come back with the letters just to have the department search and find out that there had been no taxes. They had no idea that there were taxes due that hadn't been paid. And my client the PR had no idea that there were taxes due that hadn't been paid. It was just not in anybody's contemplation. They came up with 36 possible creditors and expanded that to 37 when we got additional information.
Perhaps it was ascertainable, but not easily ascertainable.
Well, I suppose you could have ascertained it, but you know, the statutes require when we file the initial petition to make a listing of all interested parties. And so when you're filing the petition to do that, you don't have letters yet. So even if she had gone to the department at that point and said, gee, what's the situation? They wouldn't have told her anything until she was appointed. And in this case, we filed it. We got the notice out on time and such. There is a duty on the part of non-easily ascertainable creditors to watch the paper. That's what the paper is there for, is to give notice to those people that aren't obviously or easily ascertainable as creditors. And the court in this case found that the notice was proper. That implies that they found that we made a reasonable and diligent search to come up with the list of people that we sent to. I mean, that's in the court order. I mean, it doesn't say that we made a reasonable and diligent search.
I think you may be just interpreting the order.
Well, if it, in order to do 25-520, you've got to have that reasonable and diligent search. And the court specifically found that the notice was proper. That means that all elements of the notice were proper as far as 25-520.01, et cetera. So that would logically imply, and I think easily imply, that in fact the court found that there was a reasonable and diligent search. So I think I'm out of time. Are there any other questions? Nope. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal?
No, you
are. Not. That concludes arguments on this case in re estate of voter. Council, thank you very much for being here today. Please wear your masks on the way out of the courtroom, and please leave by the side door to my left.